Ms. President, I would never argue with you. Hell, even if I hadn't voted for you, you're much too pretty to argue with. Jane made herself smile back at the old man. She had known Jeff Robertson since the days when his oil money had helped lubricate Morgan Scanwell's first campaign for governor. 100 years ago, Jane thought, trying to keep the pain from showing. 1,000 years ago.
The simple fact of the matter, Gaetano said, leaning forward in his chair slightly, anxious to get down to business, is that you are the most respected man in the world energy industry.
Robertson gave a modest shrug. I've been working in the oil patch longer than anybody who's still around and kicking, I reckon.
You have seen the GEC report on the greenhouse cliff?
Yep. Read the executive summary, at least. Got my science people going over the details for me.
That report is top secret, Gaetano said. It shouldn't be revealed to anyone. If the public finds out about the greenhouse cliff, there could be mass hysteria and panic.
Relax, said Robertson. My people know how to keep their mouths shut. Nobody's gonna go around scaring the hoi polloi.
It's all right, Rafe, Jane said soothingly. We can trust Jeff.
Well then, said Gaetano more calmly, you know the catastrophe that is about to strike us. I know what your report claims will happen.
It's real, Jeff, said Jane. This isn't a matter of scientists making guesses. The facts are inescapable.
Robertson studied her for a silent moment, his pop eyes narrowing. Real, huh? Then what can we do about it?
That is exactly why we are here, Gaetano said. To get your help.
The old man leveled a finger at him. Now look, I know what you've done to the Big Seven space corporations. Don't think you're going to take over Southwest that way. Or any of the energy corporations. That's out of the question.
Jane realized that his down-home accent had vanished.
Gaetano's nostrils flared with suppressed anger.
No one wants to take over the energy corporations, Jane said quickly. Least of all Southwest.
Good.
But we do need your cooperation.
Robertson did not reply.
It is urgent, said Gaetano. More than urgent. It is imperative that we begin to move transportation and industry off fossil fuels.
Hell, I know that. Knew it 25 years ago. Why do you think I turned Southwest Oil into Southwest Energy? When we had movie stars running around the country scaring everybody to death over nuclear, I was back in fusion as hard as I could.
But now we've got to start phasing the auto industry into electric cars, Jane said, and quickly.
Robertson snorted disdainfully and leaned his skinny arms on his desk. That won't be easy. You're talking maybe $100 billion of tooling and redesign. More. To say nothing of the advertising and public relations campaigns they'll have to start.
Yamagata has promised his cooperation in Japan, said Gaetano.
In 3 years, there will be no more petrol-powered automobiles built by the Japanese. You expect Detroit to go along with that?
It is imperative.
With a shake of his head, the old man replied, Don't you see? If the Japs go to electric cars, Detroit will see it as an opportunity to grab the import market back from them. It'll be easier to sell gas-powered cars. That's what the public really wants, muscle cars, and not those little electric putt-putts.
That's why we need your help, Jeff, said Jane. You've got to be a leader on this.
Janie, dear, you know and I know that by the time this thing strikes, I'll be dead and gone.
But there are 12 billion other human beings who'll be hit by this disaster, Jane insisted. You've got to help us, even if it's the last thing you do.
Convert the whole global energy industry from fossil fuels to nuclear in 10 years?
Nuclear and solar, said Jane. The Big Seven are all under GEC control now. They'll produce the fuel for fusion plants and build solar panels at maximum output. We're already developing plans to double their capacity within the next 5 years, and then double it again.
But that won't do you much good if nobody down here on the ground wants to buy 'em, huh?
Exactly right.
I don't know if it can be done, Janie, especially in the time you say we've got to do it.
We've got to try.
The alternative, said Gaetano coldly, is for the GEC to take over the energy corporations and run them for the duration of this emergency.
Robertson glowered at him.
You try that, and there won't be any GEC. We'll tear it apart.
This is no time for threats, Jane snapped. From either of you. There's no room for anything but cooperation, period.
The two men stared at each other for a long, wordless moment. Finally, Robertson turned back to Jane and said,
You're right, honey. We got no choice. The problem is bigger than all of us put together.
Then he turned back to Gaetano.
It's even bigger than the mafia, isn't it?
Gaetano's head snapped back as if he'd been slapped.
What? Why do you ask me that? He sputtered.
I didn't get this old by being a fool, Robertson said. I know the crooks are crawling all over this mess, like a bunch of roaches nibbling away in the dark.
Are you accusing me?
I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just telling you that if you want the world's largest corporations to cooperate with the GEC, you better keep the goddang mafia off our backs.
There is no such thing as the mafia, Gaetano snapped.
Mafia, Casa Nostra, the International Crime Syndicate, call it whatever you want to. We both know it exists, and the people in it are licking their chops for the chance to skim the cream off this disaster. You just make sure they keep out of our way. Because if you don't, we'll blow you to hell and gone. We won't go to the police or the lawyers or the courts. We'll use whatever kind of force it takes to get rid of you cockroaches. Understand that?
Trembling visibly, Gaetano rose to his feet. You insult me because I am Italian. I assure you, sir, that if there actually were such a thing as the mafia, it would not interfere with the work you will be doing.
Like hell,
Jane said. Jeff, you're talking to a member of the Global Economic Council.
Robertson huffed, swiveled back and forth slightly in his desk chair, then got up and put on a smile.
Well, maybe I got carried away. Sorry about that. I apologize. Nothing personal, son.
The old man stuck his hand out over the desk. Gaetano took one step forward and clasped Robertson's proffered hand.
No offense meant, said Robertson, thinking. He'll be carrying my message back to his Goomba pals in Sicily, all right.
None taken, Gaetano said, thinking. He won't live to see the end of this. That is for certain.
Kate Williams rubbed her bleary eyes. She had been staring into the computer's display screen for hours, patiently, doggedly going through the logistics inventories for the past month, item by item. Leaning back in the comfortable swivel chair, she closed her eyes, yet still saw columns of numbers parading past.
They're clever, she said to herself. Damned clever. Must be a whole network of people stealing and covering it up. And they're getting all the help they need from Astro's own employees. Those renegade people out there couldn't exist without Astro employees covering up their pilfering. They're smart enough to keep it small, keep it down at a low level so nothing disturbing shows up to alert management. No wonder Dan never found out about it. His own company is honeycombed with people who are helping these fugitives to survive. And now Dan's one of them. Now he's part of it. I know he is.
Kate opened her eyes and sat upright once again. The digital clock on the desk said 1:47 a.m.
Phone, she called in a tired but clear voice. Get me Kimberly Williams in San Francisco.
Yes, ma'am, replied the phone in a neutral voice.
It had been a sexy female voice when Kate had taken over the office from Dan. She had immediately changed that.
No answer, said the phone a moment later. Kate felt a tingle of alarm.
What time is it there?
The correct time in San Francisco is 16:48:11.
Almost 5 in the afternoon, Kate thought.
She could still be in school, or the clinic, or maybe just out enjoying the day. Nothing to worry about. I'll call later. She's okay. It's perfectly normal for a person to be out in the afternoon.
But why wouldn't she be carrying her phone with her? Kate asked herself. What's she doing that she won't answer my call?
She tasted blood in her mouth and realized she was biting her lips. With a groaning sigh, she unclenched her teeth and reached for the computer keyboard again.
Personnel files.
Kate made a mental note to tell maintenance to install a voice activation circuit in the computer. Dan may